Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a proven and powerful process for unlocking the full potential of the people and teams across your organization, giving you the competitive advantage in the marketplace. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Business for Good, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. On this episode of Conscious Curiosity SD, we are revisiting a cornerstone conversation with Mr. Del Lewis. Del, the past president of Conscious Capitalism San Diego, was the very first guest on the podcast. Del shared many foundational principles for business success, including the tenets of conscious capitalism, especially the stakeholder over shareholder philosophy that will not only exponentially increase the value, but the impact and legacy your business will create in the future. I hope you enjoy this cornerstone conversation on Conscious Curiosity with Del Lewis. Imagine having a clear path to success. If you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or CEO, what would that be worth to you? And what if, instead of paying some crazy money to a consultant, the individual that had those answers wanted to put some skin in the game just like you? Well, if that sounds interesting, then what you need is a venturepreneur, and that is exactly who we have here today. Venturepreneur Del Lewis, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Our audience is in for a great treat today. The coolest part of talking with Del is he always has an interesting view on things. Just like there are venture capitalists and there's entrepreneurs, I had never heard of a venturepreneur until I met Del. Del leads his own company, Triclear Business Holdings, leads the CEO peer group for the CEO University, and how I know Del is he's the president of Conscious Capitalism San Diego, helping to lead the newly inspired movement to change our city. Del, you have a really interesting background. What's the story? I mean, now you're a venturepreneur, but how did you come to that? Were you an entrepreneur and you were a venture capitalist and somehow you glued it together? But so what's the backstory?
Oh, well, where do I start? How much time do we have on this podcast?
A couple days.
Oh, good, good. All right.
We'll have lunch brought in.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Well, you know, I have always been a serial entrepreneur. I bought my first business when I was 24. So my professional career has always been all around entrepreneurship. I've got a maritime background. So I went to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, graduated from there, sailed on ships for a number of years, and then came and actually the second business that I started was a shipping company. The first business, the one that I bought, was actually a restaurant, which I refer to in my point in my life as my momentary lapse of reason.
That's a tough business.
Oh, it's crazy.
At least you got out of it before COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Then I got back into it, but that's a whole different story for a whole different day. As I said, always been a serial entrepreneur and have always loved entrepreneurship and business. And I've gone sort of a kind of a crazy, circuitous route, but everything seems to build on itself. So it's been fun.
One thing leads to the next.
Absolutely. Right? Yep. Yep.
Now, didn't you spend a little time in the banking world in some fashion or finance?
And I did. And so kind of an interesting story about how I got there. So I first moved here to San Diego in the early 90s.
You're originally from?
I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. So,
born in Kansas, but grew up in Washington, D.C.
So, whole nother story.
Whole nother story, exactly.
My dad ran for president. And
That's right. So I was here in San Diego, and I had a small consulting practice, and I was working with small businesses. And the biggest challenge that all the businesses had, it was universal, was how the hell were they going to pay me? So,
that was your problem.
Exactly. Not their problem, my problem.
My problem. We need to solve this problem because this directly affects me.
Exactly. So I got to the point where I said, you know, I need to elevate the level of my clientele, and I probably need to get some experience and track record in order to be able to do that. Long story short, I kind of looked at a couple of different areas and industries, and I decided to go into banking and try to go into commercial banking so that I could deal with typically what you would consider a middle market type company, and sort of gained some track record there and some experience there. So I ended up moving to New York and working for Chase Manhattan Bank.
Wow, that's the hub.
Yep. So, and was doing commercial banking. And sort of the kicker for me was Chase offered me a position that would allow me to go through their credit training program, which was a year-long credit training program. They brought in professors from Columbia, NYU, Harvard. It was like a mini MBA. But the beauty was I was getting paid my salary the full time while I was going through the training. So phenomenal. I learned so much. I mean, I thought I knew business, but when I started to look at it from the numbers, everything changed for me. And I fell in love with it. You know, I really did. I fell in love with it because I could figure out how the business could tell its story through the numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I don't think most business owners, especially, I mean, small business owner for the most part, really have a good handle on that. I think that's I'll raise my hand. I don't care about the numbers. I'm just going to do the thing, right? But that's a huge, I think that's something that's lacking with most small business owners, really understanding the financials.
I would agree completely. And it's, you know, it's not that hard, but, you know, business people tend to get into business to do what they want to do, right?
Exactly.
And the numbers aren't typically a part of that for them.
Hopefully money will show up. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
If you build it, the money will show
it'll
up.
It'll come, yeah. It's just some automatic thing that occurs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if it does, then the next thing happens is, we get ahead of ourselves, and again, we're out of money, right? So, yeah.
You sound like a business person.
Yeah, right, unfortunately. That's not good. Yeah, don't listen to this part of the podcast.
So got into banking, and I had actually kind of three different runs inside of Chase in the banking world. Started out in the commercial banking world, and then had a chance to move
over. So was that like creating loans, doing loans for folks? Or
exactly, okay. Yeah. So, and helping them in sort of terms of all of the banking tools, cash flow management, things of that nature.
So that really showed you the struggle, right? I mean, going in there and I just need some money, right? And
yes,
it doesn't work quite that easy.
Yes,
so that gave you a good insight there.
Yeah, so a lot of times you're educating people. It's like, well, this is what your business is really doing, right? And this is how we can help it and how we can help it and make it better. Then I had an opportunity to go into the investment banking portion. And it was really an interesting time because Chase at the time had just merged with Chemical Bank. And they were becoming a powerhouse in the loan syndications. And this is sort of like lending on steroids, if you will, for those of you that are not non-bankers out there. And what we did is we raised money from other banks to support businesses. So as an example, did a deal for Heineken USA where we raised $100 million for them.
It was like a fund, essentially, was being created?
Well, in a sense, yes. So what we would do is we would go in and Heineken would contract with us to raise $100 million in the debt market for them, then we would go out and sell the deal to the other banks.
Oh, I see. So you didn't have that makes sense. Gotcha.
Exactly, yeah. So we would put together, we'd put in $20 million, and then we'd go out to other banks and get the other $80 million to do it that way.
So you're kind of the lead.
Exactly, okay. So that was a lot of fun. And I worked on teams and led teams that raised over $2 billion for our middle market clients. And so really got to understand.
What, do you get 10% of that? How's that work, Del?
I wish I did.
You probably wouldn't be talking to me right now.
I wish I did.
I'd still be a banker if it worked that way.
Exactly. And then, you know, learned a whole different area of business in that regard. And it was a lot of fun. My original plan was to be at Chase for like 2 years, and then come back to my consulting practice. But once I really understood and learned the finance, I stayed there for a long time, learned a lot more. And then that's when I decided to do venturepreneuring. And for those of people that have never heard of that term before, I don't doubt it because it's a term that I created.
It's a Dell original.
It's a Dell original, exactly. And it's because what I do looks a little bit like venture capitalism and a little bit like entrepreneurship. It's the combination of the two. And for me, a venture capitalist invests in businesses but doesn't typically invest capital. They invest their experience and entrepreneurial experience and expertise in a business to move a business forward. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
So you come alongside today with these companies and say, boy, you need some help. And part of the model is you really become part of the business. You're taking a role. So you actually have skin in the game.
Yes.
This isn't some sort of typical consulting thing is, if it works or doesn't work, as long as I get paid, it's all great. It's like you have a vested interest in seeing the success of the business. So I would assume that business owners must think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, business owners tend to love it, you know, and at the risk of insulting consultants out there, which I don't
easy,
mean to
buddy,
do.
Easy, buddy, easy.
There is an adage out there, which I quite frankly don't agree with, but there's an adage out there that what a consultant does is, you know, looks at your watch and tells you what time it is, right? And I didn't want to have that perception at all. I really wanted to, because I love business, right? And I love doing business. And this is a, I also, but the other thing I found out at Chase, which is very interesting about me, is that I'm transactional. I loved the transactions, right? So when I was raising all this money, I did that for 20 different clients, right? And every day was a different deal. Every deal was different. And that's what I can do as a venturepreneur. So I have a small portfolio of companies that I'm working with at any given time. And as you can imagine, each one of them is entirely different. So my life is very transactional in that way, and that's what I enjoy.
And you know, I've gotten to know you through Conscious Capitalism, and that's you. I mean, you like to get kind of the big picture, look at things a little differently, so I can see where how does someone want to be turning the same wheel every day. I want to be challenged to really think about things differently, look at things differently, which is part of what you bring to Conscious Capitalism. So that's really cool. Appreciate that. So what do you typically see? I mean, how are you from the kind of the consulting side of this? I mean, what skills, what's usually missing with the business leaders? What's your sweet spot, and what do you bring to the clients?
That's a very interesting question. And I think probably the simplest answer, or the 30,000 foot view answer, is communication.
I didn't expect that answer. I thought, well, what they always need is, communication.
Yeah, it's communication. And because a business is it's a collection of people that are doing something together, ideally for the benefit of other people, right? That's business 101, at least in my definition. And there's communication internally with your people that are with you doing this, and then there's communication externally. And a lot of times people will say, well, I need marketing help, or I need sales help, or I need this or that, or the other thing. And it really boils down to, what's your communication? And what are you doing? And part and parcel of that is understanding what everyone wants. What do my people want internally? What do my customers want? What does my community want? And if you can start to figure that out, and if you can start to figure out how you can communicate that you have what they want, then you've got the recipe for success.
That's an interesting piece, right? When you think about the role of the leader, that you are really the band conductor or whatever of that conversation. You know, kind of thought it was like an orchestra, right? Yep. We got the flutes, we got the horns, like all these people. It's like, well, yeah, how do we play the same music here?
Exactly.
While everyone's playing a different instrument and has different needs. Yep. Interesting.
And that's a lot of what I do as a venturepreneur. I like to tell people I'm I'm a closet or cabinet CEO, right? So there's usually the CEO that's out in front, and he or she is the face of the organization. But I'm behind the scenes, and I'm in the cabinet or in the closet, and so they turn around and they say, what should I say? And I say, well, you say this, and then they say that. And so that's how we work together to build that communication piece across the board.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I think we have this thought that CEOs always fit this sort of model. They're this outgoing, that they are good communicators, and they can get out, and they can enroll and fire up the team and all this. And that's not reality. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you get the whole smorgasbord of all kinds of talents, the introvert, the extrovert, all these kinds of things.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. Can't communicate, though. That's a big problem.
It is. And you know, every business, every successful business is a collection of diverse talents. And to me, really, the CEO is that person that needs to be able to marshal all those talents and then to acquire talent when they realize that there are holes. And so that's a lot of what we do as well.
Again, just the band conductor, right?
Seems
like we need another flute. I don't know. can we find one of those somewhere?
That's a great analogy.
When you and I were chatting the other day, you spoke to like one of your heroes is Warren Buffett. I mean, what's why? Other than the fact he's made a boatload of money.
Yeah, exactly.
What draws you to him?
Whenever I tell people that, they go, oh, of course he's your hero. He's like a mega billionaire.
I'm hoping he adopts me soon.
Exactly. Well, you know, I actually founded TriClair on the Warren Buffett principles. And the reason that I love him so much is the way he looks at business and the way he looks at investing. He started out in the public markets, and he started out buying stocks. But he didn't buy stocks because he thought the stock was going to go up tomorrow or go up next year. He bought the stock because the business made sense. and the business was creating value. And he believed that that business that he invested in had a long-term prospect for continuing to create that value. And so that's what he did in the public markets. And then he evolved. He, you know, he started to acquire enough capital that he could go out and buy businesses outright. And that's what he did, and that's what he does. And that's what I wanted to do in the privately held market. Where he did it in the public market, I wanted to do it in the privately held market. I wanted to find businesses that had value, that were creating value, but then to bring my entrepreneurial experience and capability to help them up-level that value. Mm. And, you know, the more value that you create, the more money that you can generate.
So part of the Warren Buffett piece is also those, you know, there's the business with the potential, but my understanding, he also has a lot to do with, like, what's the management team? Who are the people that are there, right? Because at the end of the day, businesses are about the people that are inside. Mm-hmm. So how have you embraced that? What does that look like and what you're doing? And, you know, how do you kind of decide, company A looks good and company B does, you know, business opportunity may be equal in both,
right.
But I'm looking at the people and A looks way stronger than B. So, like, how do you kind of sort through that? What do you look for?
Yeah, so people always ask me, like, so you invest, you know, what sectors do you invest in? What types of businesses do you invest in? And I always tell them, probably a little bit strange answer that for them to hear, but there's three criteria for me. Number one, I have to be able to understand the business. I end up you have to understand what the business does and how it creates value.
And that those numbers add up.
Yes, and that those numbers add up, exactly. The second thing is I have to believe, obviously, that I can add some value. Right? Because I'm not just in it, you know, if I see an opportunity to try to capitalize on the opportunity from a financial standpoint, I really want to be able to add some value. And then the third piece is that I believe that I can work with the entrepreneur and his or her team. If I, quote unquote, kind of like the people, and if they like me, and if we've got a good working relationship. So there's usually a lot of dialogue and discussion before I enter into an investment. But those are the three primary criteria that I look at.
Yeah. So let's talk conscious capitalism. I mean, you're the man, right? You're the president co-leading this with Michael Harth, who we did a podcast with. You can go listen to that. That was an awesome interview we did there. So how long have you been in conscious capitalism? What drew you to conscious capitalism? What's the story? Because you've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. So when you say I'm the man, kind of what that means to me on a day-to-day basis.
You're my boss. It'd be nice to know.
I think really what it means is I'm the guy out front with the big old target and bullseye on his back. That's what it means.
This doesn't work out. We know who to blame.
Exactly. So how did I get involved? Actually, I got involved through a business friend, a personal friend, Malcolm Abner, who is the gentleman who actually started the chapter here in San Diego. Malcolm and I have been friends for close to 35 years. And he kept telling me about this organization that he was involved in and that he was running here locally in San Diego and how he had sort of found his tribe. And this was, they were talking about things that were special and important to him. And I was super busy doing a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, yeah, Malcolm. Yeah. Great. Well, if you say it, it's true.
One more thing to do.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And then finally he said, you know, we're at the point where we kind of need some financial acumen, right? So would you come in and would you be our treasurer? And this is what he told me, and he might deny this today, but he said, yeah, it's easy. You know, we only meet once a month, and we probably write like two checks a year if that's all we do. You know, it's like finances should be easy, but we'd love to have you come in and be on the board. So I said, all right, fine. I came in and started treasurer. As soon as I got there, of course, it was way more complicated than he had led me to believe. But, you know, he's such a good guy. Love him to death. And the people that I found that were there, that were associated with the movement, were some of the best people in the world. And so I was like, all right, this is great. I can stay here. You know, it meets my criteria of being able to work with the people. The message was one that I felt was adding value to the community. And so it was meeting all my criteria from a business standpoint, even though this wasn't a business deal. And, you know, then got further involved on the board. And I'm the type of person, I just can't sit there. I can't be a rubber stamp or a yes person, right? I'm always offering my opinion, hopefully that it does some good. Yeah, you know, exactly. you know. But, you know, hopefully it adds some value and does some good. But so I got more and more involved. And then eventually was asked to be the president, and the board voted me on, and so here I am today.
Here we are.
I have that honor.
So interesting, one board meeting, we always try to kick things off a little introspective, something rather get us thinking, and we came to this one meeting, and you said, you know, we got four tenets here in conscious capitalism, right? So business has a higher purpose than just the product or service it's sending out, you know, putting the right culture together, servant leadership, and then stakeholder over shareholders. And so, you know, I go around the room, and what do everybody think? And, you know, I'm a big purpose guy, so I'm like going, well, my purpose is the cornerstone, right? Everything kind of feeds off of that. And so everybody weighed in, and classic Dell, you know, you last guy, right, to weigh in. And it shouldn't have been a newsflash because you've always been saying this all along. And you would say, I might be even a bit of a contrarian around this. But your whole thing was, it's about the stakeholders, which is kind of interesting because you go back to the earlier answer you gave of the communication and all the people and doing all this, right? So those are all stakeholders, and how do you bring them in? So talk about that a little bit. Why are you so passionate about the stakeholder part of the conscious capitalism tenets?
I'm passionate about it for a couple of reasons, and I don't know. This isn't necessarily an order of priority, but one of them is for me that it's the one tenet that I believe truly sets us apart, right? Everybody talks about purpose. Everybody talks about higher purpose. Everybody talks about culture. Everybody talks about leadership, right? And those are wonderful, and I'm glad that we have them, and I'm glad they're part of our four tenets. But to me, the stakeholder orientation was the one that really stood out and sets us apart. And it also goes to my belief that capitalism is not about the business owner or the business investor. It is about everyone. Because we live here, especially in the United States, we live in a capitalistic society where we have a number of different businesses that are producing a number of different things that are theoretically adding value to our society. And everyone in his or her own way contributes to that business success. And that is what I really glommed onto as it relates to the stakeholders. And I wanted to, and I'm still, and as you know, I'm still pushing that envelope a little bit to get us to really recognize that it's not so much to me about conscious capitalism, but it's about conscious capitalists. And I believe that everybody in his or her own way is a conscious or can be a conscious capitalist. Someone that believes in the capitalistic system and someone that knows what value they add to that system.
Interesting. Yeah, got a friend of mine, Paul Radoff, and he wrote a book, and I forget the title, Stakeholder something, but I always like the fact he said, your business will be as successful as the stakeholders make it. Mm. And so you think about that, right? I mean, that's just a fact. And yep. And so many companies, especially around the conscious capitalism piece, they say, you know, often it's like, oh, you got to focus the customer. It's like, well, start with the employees. Because kind of back to the you were talking about earlier, the orchestra, you know, you get the employees right, and the employees are excited. That becomes the brand. That becomes the message. And guess what? That gets translated to the customers. Yes. So it just becomes an interesting way. So how do you see to implement that with your clients? I mean, how do you get people to really embrace that and go, this is a critical aspect of what you have to do?
Yeah, first for me, it is being able to articulate to all of those different stakeholders the value that they add to the organization and that we respect that value and that we want that input and that value. Because to me, it's not about identifying one group over the other that you want to focus on first, second, or third. To me, when you talk about being a CEO, to me, the CEO, their job is that dance and that ability to bring all of those stakeholders together and to get the most value out of each and every one of them based upon what it is that they want. So it's understanding what your employees want and understanding the value that they contribute. It's understanding what your investors want and the value that they contribute, your community, what it wants, the value it contributes, even the environment, something as, you know, non-tangible as the environment, I believe, is a stakeholder in many, many businesses. And it's walking that fine line as to pulling the value out of all of those different stakeholders and bringing them together so that you can create ultimate value in your organization.
Yeah, I had an interesting exercise in that space. My wife runs a nonprofit that's a community development in Pacific Beach. And she had just joined in, and they're having a board meeting. And so I came in to kind of facilitate the strategic planning process. And so we did a stakeholder exercise. And highly recommend this for anyone running a business. Because you sit down, you stop and go, who are all the people your business is touching? You might be really surprised. I mean, because most people don't think of it. You kind of think about the employees, sure. You kind of think about the customer. Maybe you got one or two vendors or something I should probably be paying attention to. But if you really stop and really start to think about it, that also that net becomes quite large. You're operating this community. Yes. Maybe you got a landlord for your business. I mean, all these people at some level you need to be connecting with. Back again to Paul's thing, if you want to be successful, kind of all those people need to connect with you. So that's a tremendous exercise just to sit down and flush it out. And then, you know, so what is my strategy to deal with my landlord, right? I mean, just like, well, we got one, you know, and he's there or she's there, but what do we do with them?
Right, right. And the other interesting thing about that is that all of those stakeholders, they're not time consumers, they're not time wasters, they're not potential liabilities or potential problems. They are actually all potential assets.
And advocates, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Assets and advocates. And if you can figure out how to harness their power and the value they bring, that up levels your business as a whole.
The other thing I like to say is the UPS guy might be a stakeholder in your business, and you might not be, you know, a high, you know, you go through your exercise, go, who are the important ones? Let's make sure we get those. And you say, well, the UPS guy, stakeholder, but the day you need him to stick around for 10 minutes because you're trying to get something out the door, right? You'd want to have him on your team, right?
Exactly.
So, again, it starts to really make a lot of sense. Again, with conscious capitalism, I'm curious to hear your thoughts here. So as you're talking about Malcolm, and I mean, he goes, I found my tribe. And quite honestly, when you find the tribe, I mean, you're excited about being this tribe of people. We're talking the same language. We all believe in all this. But getting the message out to a larger audience seems to be very difficult. I mean, it's part of my business model. I find it difficult. Conscious capitalism's had some level of how do you get it out there? So what are your thoughts here? You know, we're trying to do a big movement here in San Diego and really grow this and have an impact, but there's like this resistance at some level that, does this really work? And what's the ROI and all this? So what's your thoughts?
Yeah.
What are we going to do, Del, to get a bigger tribe?
Yeah. If I knew the answer and if it was simple, I probably wouldn't be sitting here as well. I'd probably, you know, just like we said, you know, if I got 10% of the $2 billion that I raised, I probably wouldn't be sitting here. But, you know, that's half the fun, right? To me, that's half the fun is the challenge, is figuring these things out. And I think this is a partial answer to your question. It's not the solution, but it's a partial answer to your question. It's, you know, you hear the term lowest common denominator. I think what it is, for it goes back to communication again, and it's what I would term the highest common denominator. So if you take any movement, let's just take conscious capitalism, because that's what we're talking about. What is our highest common denominator? What is it that we are or that we espouse that literally every other person, particularly business owner, can glom onto? And that is one of the things that we're still working on. We're still trying to figure that out. And as you can imagine, when you get a bunch of smart people in the room, like we do every month when we have our board meeting, you're going to get a bunch of different opinions as to what that is. But I think our real challenge is to figure out what is that highest common denominator. And I think conscious capitalism, you know, CCI, the parent organization, is still working with that. I won't say struggling with it, but I'll just say working with it. And it's a work in progress.
Del, what is it, Del? Come on. tell us. I know you got a thought on this. So what do you think that highest denominator? I mean, where do the circles all finally overlap and you got that sweet spot in the middle?
So you're asking for the world according to Del?
That's why you're here.
All right. For me, the highest common denominator is value. It's the value that a business creates, and it's the value that the stakeholders of that business add to the creation of that value. So I think if we can all start to talk about value, I think any business owner, if you sit down with a business owner and tell them that you want to talk about how they can increase the value of their organization, you're going to get an ear. I think if you talk to any business owner about how you're going to help them increase the value that they deliver to their customers, you're going to get an ear. And I think a lot of times we talk about conscious capitalism as being sort of, not, well, I shouldn't say we, you and I, but others on the periphery talk about conscious capitalism as being anti-profit, right? Mm. It's not about profit. It's about all these other
people.
Things. It's a, yeah, right. But to me, there's nothing wrong with profit. I'm a capitalist, right? I love profit, right? I wouldn't be sitting here if I wasn't profitable and making profit. So profit's important, but it's not the only thing. But I think that the more value that you create, the more profit that you have the chance to generate. And the more value you create, the better off you make your society.
Mm, right, right.
You know, again, you're allowing me to sort of get on my soapbox and to get on
You've got the mic, buddy. Go for it.
We talk a lot in the conscious capital world about elevating humanity and elevating humanity through business. And one of my arguments internally within the organization is that I don't believe, I'll just speak for myself now, but I don't believe, I certainly don't, and I don't believe other businesses got into the business to elevate humanity. All right? I think it's a wonderful byproduct.
We needed a job.
Yeah, exactly. We needed a job.
Some money, put on the roof of our heads, right? I mean, that's, we were told that as kids. Go to school, get a job, right?
Exactly, exactly. But so we decided to go into business and to create a product or a service that we believed was of value. So I believe I'm all about elevating humanity, right? I want to do that, but I don't believe that's the real reason that anybody's in business. So when we go out and talk to businesses about elevating humanity, they're like, well, that's nice, but you know, how am I going to meet payroll 2 weeks from now, right? And so what I would prefer to talk about is, you know, how can you do these things and how can you use all four of the tenets, right? How can you determine what your higher purpose is? How can you create that corporate culture, that internal culture, and how can you lead in a certain way? And most importantly, in my opinion, as you know, how can you bring all those stakeholders in to increase your value and to increase the value that you deliver? And I think if we have that, that to me is the highest common denominator.
I knew you'd have a good way of looking at this. I just never gave you time to explain it to me before. So now the whole audience gets the value. No, that makes a lot of sense. And it's very interesting, too. I mean, this is not some newsflash. I mean, people for a long time. I mean, we always say the unconscious, conscious capitalist, right? I mean, most people at some level are trying to do the right thing and treat their people right and all this kinds of good stuff. But as people started tracking the use of these techniques or these tenets, I mean, the companies just outperform people that are all zeroed in on profit. So the numbers support it. But still seems to be a bit difficult to get the message across to folks. And yeah. But, you know, I'll just take my own personal experience. I mean, part of the whole jailbreak thing and came really out of that, you know, there had to be something more than making money. I just was going to work and not that happy.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
I call it smoldering discontent. It just wasn't, you know, one more check the box and some incremental more income. Just wasn't that fulfilling. And going, oh, I got to do this for like 10, 20 years. This doesn't seem acceptable to me. And so the whole idea is, you know, we want to solve that, and we want to solve it for all our stakeholders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I think to a great degree, and I've been in business for almost 30 years now. If you just focus on profit to a great degree, it's like pushing a boulder up a hill. I mean, it really is
painful.
It is. It's painful and it's hard, and you know, it's strenuous.
Harry, we were talking about numbers at my morning meeting with my wife. You know, we talked, Harry, somehow I turned into the numbers. It's like, it wasn't a good conversation. I think the boulder rolled back on me.
I've had that happen to me as well. But when you have a stakeholder orientation and you bring all of these people together and communicate in an effective way about the value that they deliver and about how you value their value, now all of a sudden, two things happen. You've got a whole bunch of other people behind you pushing that boulder. And as you were saying before, somehow, some way, that hill that's an upward incline all of a sudden becomes a downward incline, and now you're rolling a snowball down a hill. And that's a lot more fun.
Winning creates winning.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. And nothing begats success like success.
So. And we've had all their other interviews in here of business leaders here in San Diego who were, you know, practicing their leadership along these lines. And their stories around COVID, you know, we have the big resignation going on everywhere today. And now they're telling a completely different story of how they're, they pivoted quickly and they're, how they're able to take care of their employees. And they're coming out of this thing bigger, faster, stronger than they were going in. So,
It's funny you say that. So, as you mentioned at the outset of this, I run a private advisory board that consists of 14 CEOs that are in the middle market spectrum. And we had our meeting yesterday, and we were going around the room and talking about just in general about our businesses. And we're coming out of 2 years of COVID. Almost to the one of them, they were saying that they were having the best year that they have ever had. And the last 2 months are the best 2 months they've ever had in the in their business. And that... And I'm not even gonna try to take all the credit for this because we worked on this as a team again, right? We were all stakeholders in that room talking about our individual businesses. But one of the things that we did at the very outset was I said, okay, things are gonna have to change, right? And the world as we knew it is no longer gonna be that way, and I don't know if it's ever gonna go back. So what can you do based upon the things that you're gonna have to do based upon this change that will make an incrementally better for you and for your business? And they all embraced that, and they all took that to heart. And over these last 2 years, they've made some phenomenal changes, things that they'll never go back to doing again. Mm-hmm. And it's ultimately going to make them more profitable, and their people and all of their stakeholders are seeing the benefit of those changes. So it works.
And I would guess, well, some of them might have been the same, but at some level, I guess everybody probably had some different things they had. There's no some cookie cutter answer to that.
No,
everybody's got to figure that out for themselves.
Absolutely. There's never a cookie cutter answer. And that's why it's so tough for us in terms of a message, right? Because even though we're constantly in search of that highest common denominator, there is no one answer that is the best for everybody. And there is no one way to do conscious capitalism. There's no one way to be consciously capitalistic. There's a number of different ways, but if we can figure out the umbrella that all of them fall under, then we're in a much better position.
Perfect, perfect. All right, a little pressure now. The visionary part of Dell.
All right.
So let's assume we're 3 years out and we're having some success here with conscious capitalism and our movement. We've been able to reasonably start to engage more businesses into this idea and philosophy. What's happening? How will we know? And what will it be? What's happening in here in San Diego? Because we're going to be the city. I mean, I know that without a doubt. But what's that going to look like, Dell?
I think it's going to look like, and you may think this is sort of off the charts and pie in the sky, but I think it's going to look like in terms of demographic and in terms of people gravitating towards San Diego and people gravitating towards the people in San Diego, we're going to see a huge uptick in all of that, particularly on the business side. But when I say business, it's not just businesses coming into San Diego. It's going to be businesses around the rest of the country and around the rest of the world doing more business with San Diego businesses. And I think a result of this pandemic, one of the things that we're going to see is we're going to see a lot more really successful and value-adding home-based businesses. And when we start to build our movement, we're going to incorporate all of those people that live here in San Diego, and they're going to be doing a lot more business nationally and internationally. And so you're just going to see that uptick, and you're going to see it in the numbers. You'll see it. There will be some migration here, I'm sure, even though California is crazy in terms of some of our costs and expenses. But you will see some migration here, and you're going to start to see us labeled and monikered, I believe, as the most consciously capitalistic city in the world.
I love that. I love that guy because part of my thing is, and it just happens. And like someone comes here and I go, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe something in the water. I know it's a beautiful place, all this, but there's something. People are happier. People are engaged. I go out to get a meal. It's just a little different feeling here in San Diego. And if you've come in as a tourist or whatever, you just might not know exactly why it is this way,
right?
But it is this way. And you go, man, that city, that was an awesome place to go visit.
The other thing I love about a movement like this is that it it gives those people that have always been conscious capitalists, it gives them, quote unquote, the right or the permission to be that way. Because now they can associate what they do with a larger group of people that are doing that. And they can associate that, quite frankly. I mean, we're part of capitalism is it's not what you know, but who you know, right? And so we've got people that are like names, right? And they can say, well, he's a conscious capitalist, and she's a conscious capitalist, and we know those names. I'm a part of that group as well. And it gives the people permission to do more of what they were doing before. That's what I love about it.
Lots of great ideas. You're full of ideas. You got things well thought out often. And so here we are, and we've spent 40 minutes talking. What's the one big idea? So, I mean, someone just listened to this, they're getting out of their car and walking in, and they're going to go share something with their business partner or whatever. What's the one big idea you really want people to walk away with?
Wow. That is a very, very good and interesting question. I think, again, it goes back to value, and it goes back to value creation. Why are you in business if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur? Why are you working for that particular company if you're an employee? Why have you invested? What is the value that that organization is delivering to the world? And if you can focus on that, and you have an interest in increasing that value, then the rest of the world is going to benefit, right? Every time that you upgrade your widget, the world gets better. And if we can start to upgrade our widgets with our entire stakeholder base in mind and integrated into that, the results...
Exponential.
Are exponential, exactly.
Yep. Perfect. Dell, wow. Time has flown, man. I'm glad we got you in here and had a chance to talk to you. And I just really want to thank you for taking the time and coming in here and sharing your thoughts and casting your vision and getting people excited. Well, folks, that's it. That's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please hit the like button. And even better, subscribe, because it's the best way to help us continue to get the word out and grow the conscious capitalism movement to make business a force for good to improve our community here in San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton saying, in the meantime, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we all are counting on you.